Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. There's an atmosphere of faith, and the word of truth is received with simplicity, in simplicity, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Yeah, well, we'll just fellowship around God's word this evening. We trust we're going to have a beautiful time this evening. If you are with your Bibles, I would like that you turn with me to, I'm sure a couple of us should be there already, Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Turn with me quickly to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. You know, Jesus speaking, you know, Matthew giving a writing down a record of what happened within 40 days. But Matthew gives us a submitted statement. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. So remember, we said something. Yeah, that Jesus came and spake, it doesn't mean that Jesus just appeared from the blues and just said. No, no, no. What Matthew is really saying is that this is a summary of the continuous teaching Jesus had for 40 days. So, and Jesus came and spake unto them saying, so the summary of what Jesus was saying for 40 days as seen in Acts chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 is all power. That word power, there's the word authority. All power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word they teach is the word that means to make people students or to make people disciples of all nations. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, all through scriptures, that is the only verse of the Bible that you see the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. Really, what we have is the name of the Son, the reputation, the work of the Son. So in the real sense, the name of the Father is equal to the name of the Son and equal to the name of the Holy Ghost, which is equal to the name of the Son, the reputation of the Son on account of what the Son has done. So go in therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Yeah, he now says verse 20, says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So we see that this was a post-resurrection seminar that Jesus had for 40 days. In fact, hold your hands there, or rather turn with me to Luke 24, verse 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. You know, we're dealing with a very interesting series called Generosity, God's Divine Plan. We're trying to examine God's word on generosity. And you know, if you've been following so far, you'd realize that in the real sense, we are really doing Bible interpretation. You know, Bible interpretation. The name might seem very catchy and all of that, but it's really Bible interpretation. But the truth is that on the long run, we're going to get to the end where we should get to, you know, to explain scriptures that seem, you know, seem the way they are, or seem scriptures that seem to have conflicting, you know, bring confusions to the hearts of saints. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. Yeah, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, that is Jesus, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophet has spoken. Yeah, who are the prophets in question? Yeah, the prophets that dwelt or existed between the years that Genesis to Malachi existed. So, all fools, why did he call them fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe. What are they to believe? All the prophet has spoken. What are the particulars of what the prophet spoke? Verse 26 explains that it says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, what happens then to clear the old fools, he said? He began to do something in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, these people, yeah, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So what did Jesus do? He picked the Bible, which will be Genesis to Malachi at that time, and explained himself from scriptures. So upon resurrection, we don't see a record of Jesus showing them where the nail entered, where they flogged him. No, or where his blood gushed out. No. He thought about everything that happened to him that he was doing and he has done and he was do. Yet he taught it from the scriptures. In fact, look at that same scripture. Luke 24 verse 44. Few verses after. Luke 24 verse 44. Just a couple of verses after. Look how it says there. He says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That would be what? Before the crucifixion. Yeah, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. So what he was saying before the crucifixion is that something is to be fulfilled. All that a prophet has spoken. Remember verse 27, 26, 25. So, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So, the things that Moses wrote, that is what you call the writings of Moses, are equal to all the summation of what he wrote, they're equal to the summation of what the prophet wrote, and they're equal to the summation of what the Psalms wrote, or the Psalmists. You know, which were equal to the things he said before his crucifixion and the things he said upon resurrection. So, as saints, what are we doing? We're trying to examine God's word concerning certain principles, you know, with certain so-called principles a lot of Christians claim we have. I try to examine the aspect of giving. You know, a lot of us have grown up in a system or in a church system where we believe that we can become rich or wealthier by giving. Yeah, you know, it will shock us to know that nobody gets rich by giving. Yeah, the saint is to have a disposition of once you give generously as an end in itself, not as a means to an end. So, what have we been doing in the past few weeks? We've been trying to explain statements or conversations like first fruits, seed sowing, you know, offerings and things like that, having Moses in view. Why? Because we said earlier on that Moses is a fundamental writer in scriptures. Every other writer has Moses as, or they all have Moses or had Moses as their foundation. Hallelujah. So, we're trying to examine Moses. So, look at John 5. Look at John chapter 5 verse 39. Hear what Jesus says in John 5, 39. Glory to God. See John 5, verse 39. See what it says there. It says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But actually, they are they which testify of me. Hallelujah. So, what is Jesus saying? The scriptures testify of me. That means the scriptures point to me. Look at verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For Moses wrote of me. So, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying he is the fulfillment of the figures and the prophecies of the Old Testament. So, it means that if Moses was the one that wrote about Titan first, it means that, see what Jesus said? He says, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me. So, Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, used things like Titan, like first fruit, to teach about Jesus. Look at it again. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. For Moses wrote of me. So in Moses initiating the law, John 1:17 says the law was offered by Moses, but grace that is the reality came through Jesus Christ. So who offered the law? Moses. Why? Because of the stiff-neckedness of the people. What is stiff-neckedness? Stiff-neckedness. Yeah, the neck of the people were stiff in the real sense, figure of speech. Yeah, unbelief. Yeah, so we've established, you know, firstborn, the beginning, Bereshit. You know, we established something fundamental also. And we said that the book of Genesis chapter 1 is really Moses writing about the resurrection of Jesus. So Moses used figures of speech from Genesis chapter 1 to write a story or the story of God's resurrection in Christ. God's plan of redemption. God's plan of salvation. Quickly run with me to Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, so we said that Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. We've come to see that most likely speaks about God's plan of redemption. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Yeah, what does that mean? Figurative for the hearts of men, unbelief. You might want to lay your hands on previous teachings. What is the solution for this darkness upon the face of the deep? Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Yeah, so we see that from the beginning, it is clearly and evidently put forth the solution for sin and death. Let there be light. So light is the solution and the cure to the earth that was without form and without void and darkness. Yeah, what does that really mean? He said it again. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. figurative for what the gospel is made available. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. Look at Genesis 1 verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Yeah, that word there, his, plays with our mind a little. That should play with our mind. So it says, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, not its kind. Hallelujah. Yeah, his kind. Yeah, so it means that we should pay attention to his kind. Look at Genesis chapter 1. So who would that seed be? Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So who is that seed? We've been looking at it in church. That seed is Christ. We saw in the book of Mark's encounter about that. Mark chapter 4. Together. So we established, why was Moses using parables? You remember, Jesus was not the first person that started teaching with parables. Moses actually started teaching with parables. Moses used seed in a parable. Yeah, so the seed and our seed. Yeah, what would that be? Figurative. Yeah, so think about it this way. Remember, I said something, parable, which is parabole. Yeah, so you know, to put things side by side. So really, what is a parable? Using a story to illustrate or explain another story. So when you listen to a parable and you know it is a parable, pay attention to what is being said, because in listening, you have to listen more. Hallelujah. So in the parable, you'll be hearing seed. You'll be hearing seed, but it's not speaking about seed. Yeah, so it's like using, for instance, using accounting terms to explain biology. Yeah, so it means that, remember we said something last week, if we are dealing with parables and the things involved in parables are physical or physical illustrations or things that are physical used for illustration, it means that when you pay attention, most likely the real deal will be spiritual truths. Say that again. Yeah. When using parables, you might hear physical things you can see, you can touch. But when it comes to doctrine or biblical parables, usually when physical things are used, they point your attention to spiritual things. So we are speaking about spiritual things, but using commercial or physical things that can be seen with the physical eyes to communicate these for better understanding. So remember, I said something. So the first mention of seed in the Bible is in Genesis. Now, see one of the mentions. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, really, that is between thy seed and her seed. We establish something. If the seed is a person in Genesis, it means that the harvest will be people. Are we together? Yeah, that's why it tells you in Genesis 1:11, building forth fruit after his kind. If the seed is a person, the harvest will have to be people. Are we together? So we need to pay attention to the teachings or the use of that seed. Glory to God. Now look at Genesis 12 quickly. Look at Genesis 12. You know, we're dealing with the seed. Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Look at Genesis 12. We know we ended here on Sunday. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Look at verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. I will bless thee and make thy name great. All together. Now look at verse 3. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Look at verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what was the goal? We're trying to pay attention to that. Remember, we established also. Look at it very, you know, we grew up believing that when you are cursed, you are poor. There are people who they have cursed that are not poor. In fact, there might be a couple of people that are listening to this teaching right now that one man or the other somewhere has said, I've cursed you. Yeah, but you are not poor. Yeah, so, you know, in our day and time, we usually associate poverty to cursing and all those things. But now we pay attention to something. That word there, blessed, means to be with something or to be welcomed. Yeah, the word, the use of the word blessed. So there's the Hebrew word barak, you know, and there's the Greek word, has two Greek words, heology and makarios. Yeah, to speak well of something, or, you know, and things like that, or to say fortunate. Yeah, so, but in the word Barak in the Old Testament book, you know, is a word that means to be with something, or to be congratulated, or to be welcomed. Say that again. Yeah, to be welcomed into, to be with something, yeah, or to congratulate somebody. That word there, bless, means to welcome or to congratulate someone. To welcome or to congratulate someone. Now, the word there, cause, means to what? To be out of something, or to be out of someplace, or to be or to be rejected, or to be sent out, yeah, or to be without. Yeah, or to be without. Yeah, we'll pay more attention to this in days to come. Now, remember, if you read Genesis, you will see that Adam was cursed. Did that make him poor? No. Find it in a place in your heart to believe that. No. Why? Because even when you say Adam was cursed, which was actually a compensation for his decision, in the research, he was still the owner, or he was the one put in control of the things of the earth. Yeah. So they were limited men on earth to fight properties with Adam. You know, so was Adam cursed? Yes, we see that as a compensation for his decision. Did that make him poor? No. Yeah. You know, a lot of people believe that Adam became poor because he was cursed. And that's why we hear people say things like Christ came to redeem us from poverty, from spiritual damnation, and from sickness. No, that's not true. Yeah, that's not true. Yeah, what Christ came to redeem man from was that thing that no man could have without him. That is forgiveness of sins. That is forgiveness of sins. Full stop. Yeah, so when he says, I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee. That blessing cannot be material blessing. No. You see, in as much as in our day and time today, we use the word blessing for material things. In scriptures, we need to pay attention to the word blessing. Not a single time in the epistles or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was the word blessing used for material riches. It was either eulogy to speak well or fortunate. Yeah, that's why you see, blessed are the meek, for they shall be this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's not saying that you will be blessed with money because you are meek. No. Fortunate that you see. So when it says blessed are the poor, for they shall be, you know, those beatitudes. Yeah. So it's not saying that because you are poor. No. Fortunate are you. Are we together? When it comes to blessed be our God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Yeah. We speak well of our God who has spoken well of us in Christ Jesus. So, the blessedness of Abraham is not material blessing. No. It isn't. Now, go to Genesis chapter 1. Quickly run with me to Genesis 15. Let's see Genesis 15 quickly. Hold your hands in Genesis 2. Go to Genesis 15, verse 2. Or verse 5. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. So, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Dear saints, let's think about things. Let's think about what to believe. God could not have called Abraham to go and count the stars outside. And Abraham now believed that. You now see in verse 6, he believed in the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. No. Hey. There is only one way to be saved and to be counted as one who is righteous. How do you do that? By believing the gospel. So Moses is writing Genesis 15, but Moses was not there where it happened. Oh yeah, Abraham, go and count the stars. Yeah, since the stars are plenty, yeah, so shall your seeds be. Yeah, man. And Abraham now believed God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jehovah Rapha. Yeah. And Moses now tells you it was counted unto him for righteousness. No, you only get righteous by faith in the gospel. Let's see now, what did Abraham believe? Was it that his stars or his children will be plenty, or that there's a seed that God will provide? Go to Galatians 3. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. You know, we grew up hearing that, oh, Abraham, go and count the stars because they are numerous. You know, Abraham will be counting 1, 2, 3. Isaac, stop this. Oh, he didn't have Isaac at the time. Maybe his wife, Sarah. Sarah, leave me alone. Let me clear. I'm communing with God. Yeah, so, look at it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. So who did Abraham believe, or what did Abraham believe before Moses told him it was counted to him as righteousness? He believed about the seed which is Christ. Are we together? He believed about the seed which is Christ. That the now, see verse 14. See verse 13, quickly. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Remember Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Yeah, it looked like God said, go and count the stars. See, in the real sense, what message was Moses writing about? The message of the gospel. What he had written in chapter 12, when he says, I will bless thee and make thee a great nation. Now look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Look at verse 14. So we are to, remember the Bible was written in chapters and verses. So we are to read verse 13 into verse 14. So let's read it again. It says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing. So a good way to read that would be, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that would be figurative for those who are not believers, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What did they call it first? The blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? The promise of the Spirit. Yeah, it's ridiculous to think that the blessing of Abraham is money. No, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's very ridiculous. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. What is really that blessing of Abraham? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Read in context. Don't go far. Just read in context. So the promise of the Spirit through faith is equal to the blessing of Abraham. Nobody gets rich by being a Jew. Nobody gets rich by being a Christian. That's no worse off. I mean, you can get rich by being a Jew. Maybe you have a Jewish heritage and your parents were rich. Yeah, but in the real sense, nobody gets. So this is a verse we hold on to for blessings of Abraham. Yeah, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. It's not saying the money of Abraham. No, that's ridiculous. No, the blessing of Abraham is spoken about it in that verse. What is the blessing of Abraham? Receiving the promise of the Spirit through faith. So material prosperity cannot, and it is not an inheritance as saints or that we have in Christ. I was once believing that very delusive teaching. I once believed that Christ died for my wealth, but it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, going by the statistics itself in physical realm and thinking logically, it doesn't make any sense. You know, like I always say, most people that I know that believe that so-called doctrine are poor. So if blessings cannot be material. It cannot be. You don't have to be in Christ to have money. So material prosperity, it is not an inheritance in Christ. So there's nothing like, oh, because I'm in Christ, I've never been poor. No, it's not true. That is not true. You can be in Christ and be poor. Eh? Yeah? So see, for material blessing or material prosperity to be a part of the work, God is very cheap. Imagine, Muslims and unbelievers can have what you need to believe in Christ to have. It is shameful. It is shameful. That means our God is cheap. For Christ to come, which is God, come in man, live in the midst of man, so that he can give some people money because they believe in him. It's ridiculous to believe. There were rich men that did not believe in Jesus. There are rich men who do not believe in Jesus today, and they are going to remain rich. Either you pray it away, if you like, take their picture to Mama Lao, but it cannot be poor. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. So what is the blessing of Abraham? The promise of the Spirit. So when you go back to Genesis. Look at Genesis. Genesis 12. So I will make of thee a great nation. What would that speak about? It will speak about a particular people. And I will bless thee. What is the blessing? That the promise of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith in Christ Jesus. Are we together? In the real sense, who was Moses teaching about? John chapter 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Was Moses here when this was happening? Nope. How did Moses know what happened to Abraham? Through oral tradition, he was told the stories. In being told that story, he wrote this story. The story of who? The redemption plan of God. In fact, go back to Genesis 1. So, what is the blessing of Abraham? More people coming into the fold. More people believing the gospel. So, look at, same thing Moses wrote in Genesis 1. Look at Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. What did that mean? Look at verse 26. God said, let us make man in our own image. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Yet, what did now say? Verse 28. The same blessing of Abraham. Look at it. And God blessed them. Not who are the them that are to be blessed? Those that are found in Christ. What does it mean to be blessed? To be welcomed, to be congratulated, or to be spoken well about. So, what did he say? And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What does that mean? It's the same thing he said in Matthew 28, verse 18. Verse 19, go ye into the world and make disciples. That's the same thing Moses wrote in Genesis. In Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Yeah, to what he's really saying is, look, fill up the earth, add strength. Yeah, we'll pay attention to that now. So, go back to Genesis 12. Or Genesis 15 this time around. Genesis 15. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Moses used the childlessness of Abraham to teach about a provision of God's child, that is God's son. Isaiah 9:6. Yeah, look at verse 3. And Abraham said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 quickly. Look at verse 4 quickly. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thy heir. Who is that teaching about? Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. What the Galatians tell us, so shall thy seed be, means so shall thy seed be, which is seed not as of many, but seed as of one, which is Christ. Are we together? So we view seed, we view son. Yeah, we view son, we view seed, we view air. You know, Galatians, go back to Galatians 3. Go back to Galatians 3 quickly. Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. Look at it. That the blessing of Abraham might come. What is the blessing? Receiving the promise of the Spirit. Yeah. So, brethren, I speak verse 15. After the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man be annulled or added thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now to Abraham were the seed, were the promise made. So it means that God's plan in Genesis chapter 1 for mankind who are blessed in Christ to replenish and subdue the earth, yeah, there will be a fulfillment. So through Abraham, there will be a fulfillment of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. What is the promise of or what is the instruction in Genesis 1:26-28? Replenish and subdue the earth. So, through Abraham, so to say, the seed will bring forth fruit after his kind. Who should your attention be on? The person Abraham or the person Abraham is being used to teach. It has to be Christ Jesus. Look at Psalm 22 verse 30 quickly. Psalm 22 verse 30. Psalm 22 verse 30. See what it says there. You know, this is a scripture that, you know, points more attention to the work of Christ. And Psalm 22 verse 30. Yeah, so a seed shall serve him, he shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. So we see a seed, first of all, is primarily a person, then a nation, then a generation, then a nation, then some generations. First a person, then other people. So if, remember that teaching, except a seed of wheat falls to the ground, he abided alone. So it is first a seed, falls to the ground, embedded in that seed is the potential to become plenty people. That is harvest, plenty harvest. So, now, pay attention to this. Can we say that the promise in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, seed yielding fruit after his kind, is equal to the blessing, is, okay. Let me take a step back. Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 11. Let's take a step back. Let's take it gradually. We'll get there. Genesis, look at Genesis, Genesis 1:11. Genesis 1:11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. So is that a promise? Yes. Can we equate that promise to be the promise of Genesis 3? Go to Genesis 3:15. Can we say Genesis 1:11 is equal to Genesis 3:15? See it? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Is that equal? Can we equate that to be the same blessing of Genesis 12? Go to Genesis 12. Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12 verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation. So, I will make thee a great nation. Is it equal to seed yielding forth after his own kind? Yes, yes, yes. Is it equal to the seed who destroyed the seed of the serpent? Yes, yes, yes. Is it equal to the blessing of Abraham? Yes, yes, yes. What did Paul tell us in Galatians 3? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, that is what? The promise, they shall receive the promise of the Spirit. So what is going on? A promise. There is a project to be done. Yeah. So the seed of God is God himself. The seed of God is God's son. The seed of God is the word of God. We did a lot of justice to that, you know, in previous teachings. You know, you might want to write that down. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 15, 16 and all of that. Then Luke 8. Look at Luke 8, 11 quickly. Look at Luke 8, 11. The same encounter for Mark. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. See it again. Luke 8, 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. Is equal to the seed that will crush the head of the serpent. Is equal to the blessedness that Abraham has, which is what? Actually the giving of the Spirit. Which is equal to what? The seed producing food after his kind. What did I do? I created Genesis 1 verse 11 to Genesis 3 verse 15 to Genesis 12 verse 2 to Genesis 15 verse 5 to Galatians 3 verse 14, 15, 16 and to Luke 8 verse 1, 11. I said that again. Genesis 1 11 is equal to Genesis 3 15 is equal to Genesis 12 verse 2 equal to Genesis 15 5 equal to Galatians chapter 3 verse 14 to 16 is equal to Luke. I used Luke chapter 8 verse 11 to explain them. So, if we are seeing from the beginning, Moses started using the parable, using seed. So, the kingdom of God is in a seed, and it is about a seed. Now, is the kingdom of God about a seed in reference to a fruit that you plant on the ground? No. The seed is a person. Look at it. Luke 8, 11. The seed is the word of God. Go to John 1. Go to John 1 quickly. Go to John. Remember, Luke 8, 11 says the seed is the word of God. Look at John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So can we say, in the beginning was the seed, and the seed was with God, and the seed was God? What did Luke 8, 11 tell you? This is the end of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is equal to the word of God. What did John 1 tell you? In the beginning was the seed. So it means from Genesis, remember, we taught something in church. In Genesis chapter 1, when John is teaching from, in John chapter 1, he is teaching from Genesis chapter 1. Where do you see in the beginning? It is in Genesis chapter 1, Reshit and Bereshit. So in the beginning was the word. That means in the beginning, God's seed was made available. Although it looked in a promissory form. It looked like a promissory note, but it was made available. It was made available. It was made available. So look at John 1 again. Remember Luke 8. Yeah, the seed is the word of God. Look at John 1 again. It says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the seed. The seed was with God. The word was with God. And the seed was God. Hallelujah. Look at it. Look at verse 4. In the seed was life. And the life was the light of men. So shall your seed be. That is to Abraham. Genesis 15 verse 5. The seed which is Christ. Galatians 3 verse 16. So in him, that is John 1, 4, in Christ was life, is life, and the life was the light unto men. So when you see God said, let there be life, that is the light unto men. What is the light? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See that quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Does God hide? No. Where is God's word hidden? Even to the heart that is full of unbelief. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the what? The light of the what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Where is Paul teaching from? He is teaching from Genesis 1 verse 3 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. The light and the image of God, they are one person. It is one person, Christ Jesus. Go back to John 1. Go back to John 1. 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 Oh, glory, glory to God. God's word prevails in the land. So in him was life, verse 4, that is, the life was the light of men. So the seed is equal to a representation of God's life that would destroy the work of the devil upon resurrection. Are we together? That destruction supplies light to men. Look at verse 14. Look at 14. And the word was made flesh. So can we say the seed was made flesh? Yes. 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 The seed was made flesh. So we have been talking about seed. We explained what the soil is. The soil will be the hearts of men. So Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, is Moses figuratively writing about unbelief in the hearts of men. You see, you know, if you take note, if you pay attention in the book of Genesis, you realize that Abraham lived in moving tents. Abraham never built a house. He lived like a pilgrim. Do you know what that story illustrates? The story of Abraham living in moving tents as a pilgrim, you know, that's which is actually similar to where Isaac lived and Jacob lived. But each of them actually said, the land the Lord has given us. Are we together? They didn't have a land where they built in the real sense. They didn't have a real place where they said their house. But they kept saying, the land which the Lord had given us. What is the land? Hebrews 11. Oh, glory to God. God's word has worked. Glory. God's word has worked. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Look at that quickly. Hebrews 11 verse 8. See that quickly. He says, by faith, when he was called, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. You see that? Verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in where? Tabernacles. In where? In tents. In moving tents. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look at verse 10. Don't lose track, please. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Who is that city? The city of the new creation. The city of the believer. Glory to God. So Abraham looked forward to the city whose maker and builder is God. Are we together? Glory to God. Glory, glory. Look at Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. You see, when Moses wrote about God rested on 7 days. No, Moses used 7 days teaching about rest, teaching about the rest the believer has in Christ. Yeah, so don't think about God going to go and, you know, after he walked on 6 days, he now remove his canvas, I mean his boots. He now will be true slippers on the 7 day and started resting, started looking at the beautiful creature. No. Moses, okay, go to Psalm 95. Let's explain that better. Look at Psalm 95. Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So when you see Moses saying rest, when you see Moses, is it actually what? That we might enter into a rest. How do you enter into rest? By believing the gospel. We did a teaching on that. Look at Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Palavos in the book and ever called the poor pair of Oshki, Paravati, da. If a cup and ever so poking the number of food and never cup for that, Dava Gosh, a carabodo, ever so catapoto, never se pair of folk, and never the Boschogodo. Yeah, for you see, in the seed form was God's promise made. The promise of God was made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The promise of the resurrection, the promise of the resurrected king, the promise of the rock that will be provided upon the resurrection. Palavos gave a cup of king and never so capon. Yeah, we are people who have received that promise. That promise has been made available to us world who have believed the gospel. Yeah, by this we are empowered by the work of Paul's Evacar in Paropodikada. Yeah, I mean, by this we have been empowered by the work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. Yeah, do well to pay attention to this reality. For you see, you are part of God's mighty harvest. Yes, yes, you are part of God Paul in the verse Ikaravode, Ikarapokonodivakanabashokite, Epo. Yeah, you are part of God's mighty harvest on the earth. Yeah, you are that heart. You are that man who has submitted a heart to believe the gospel. Yeah, do well to recognize this and pay more attention to this reality. For in this you see that we have victory as saints. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 95 verse 1. Look at Psalm 95 verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So who is the rock of our salvation? The Lord. Look at verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great God and a great King above all gods. How do we see God's greatness? He resurrected Christ. Men killed Christ. God rose him up. That is the powerful power of God's power being seen by mankind. Look at verse 8. Look at what verse 8. Look at verse 8. Harden not your hearts. Harden not your heart, oh, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Who is he speaking about? Those who were stiff naked in the wilderness. What is this utterance in Psalm 95 saying? Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart like them. Look at verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, utterance, they proved me and saw my work. Look at verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, figures of speech. Yeah, err in their hearts is stiff, being stiff naked, being without faith. Yeah, and they have not known my ways. How do we know his ways? I am the way, the truth, the life in Christ. Yeah, so we see God's way in Christ. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Hebrews 3. Now go back to Hebrews. Where? Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 3. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 8. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 8. Can you see? Remember what we see. When the New Testament is speaking, go to where it is written in the Old Testament, for that is where they are quoting from. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocations in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Is that the same thing we read? Yes. When your fathers tempted, is that the same thing we read? Yes. Wherefore I was grieved with this generation. Is that the same thing we read? Yes. Verse 11. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Why did they not enter into the rest? Look at verse 12. The warning now comes again. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Why did they not enter into God's rest? Because of unbelief in their heart. Are we together? Lest there be any of you having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah, but exhort one another daily, which is called today. Now, so look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter into the rest because of unbelief. Is it God that said they will not enter into his rest? No. So now, did you read it in the Bible where it says, I swore in my wrath they will not enter into my rest? Yes, but that is a figure of speech. How did they not enter into the rest of God? Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Not because God chose or decided they will not enter. Read it into chapter 4. Now he now says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us, look at verse 2, Hebrews 4 verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Are we together? So the use of land, use of parables was Moses' way of teaching about Christ. John 5, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. So remember I said something, we are dealing with Abraham's blessing. So what does it mean to be blessed? To be welcomed, to be congratulated, to be brought into. What does it mean to be caused? To be sent out or to be without. What, Hebrews 11:11. Remember I said something, the seed, yes, is Christ. Look at Hebrews 11:10. For Abraham looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So can we say that's the promised land? So can we say that's equal to the promised land that Moses used to typify with Cana? Yes, Cana is not God's promised land. Cana was a way of Moses teaching about Christ. Yeah, there's nothing about Cana. You know, there's nothing unique to you coming from Israel lineage. There's nothing about that, really. Yeah, the only thing unique to you in reference to God is coming from God's heritage, God's lineage. How do you come from his lineage? Believe in the gospel. Yeah, so Moses used all of that. So we said the seed is Jesus. So the land, you know, the land, the seed, you know, they all point to the work of the Spirit. So the land points to the work of the Spirit. The city points to the work of the Spirit. The garden points to the work of the Spirit. The tree points to the garden, the work of the Spirit. The seed points to the work of the Spirit. Yeah, who is the work? Who's going to do the work of the Spirit and make it available to mankind? Christ Jesus, who is the image of God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So, the seed planted in God's land will bring forth more fruit after his kind. What did I do? I summarized our teaching in the last few weeks. Now, go to Matthew's gospel. Why mysteries? Why all these figures of speech? You know, some people will be saying, but the Bible is not that hard now. How come now? Why is it now? From Genesis chapter 1, we see Christ preached. Yeah, so when you read the Bible and don't see Christ, you most likely read it with a slant of unbelief. Now, might you have believed, is that right? I don't know. Yeah. You might have believed in the gospel, yeah, but there is a slant of unbelief we must not afford to use to read scriptures. Because of the hardness of their heart, Moses gave them the law. Because of the hardness of their heart, Moses used figures of speech to teach them about the redemptive plan of God. Look at Matthew 13, 8, verse 34. Matthew 13, verse 34. Matthew's Gospel 13 verse 34. Look at that quickly. Look at that quickly. God's word prevails in the land. Matthew 13 verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, parabole. And without a parable spake he not unto them. Look at verse 35. Why did he speak in parables? Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Where is Jesus quoting from? Psalm 78 verse 1 and 2. Are we together? I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. What's that? That is foundation of the world we got to be in the beginning. Can you see? So it means that from the beginning, there was a secret made available, but now it is a secret. From Genesis chapter 1, we see God's secret. So, now, there's a figure of speech called oxymoron. Yeah, oxymoron is a figure of speech that deals with two opposites. So, can we say that God's secret in Genesis chapter 1 is an open secret? Yeah, God's secret in Genesis 1 is an open secret. What is that? Yeah, imagine, a secret is not supposed to be open. Yeah, but we are saying this secret is open. You see? So, the blessedness of Abraham is equal to the work the seed will do, which is equal to the work of God, of Christ, on the earth, in the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, remember, go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Look at Galatians 3:14 first. Blessed be God. Glory to God. Galatians 3 verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Dear saints, hold on. What is the blessing of Abraham? We've said that in this teaching already. The blessing of Abraham is explicitly stated in this scripture. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Not money. There is no money in the gospel. No Christian gets rich by being a Christian. It's a false teaching we have grown up learning. It's delusion. It's a false teaching. Nobody gets rich by giving. Nobody gets rich by sowing seed. Nobody gets rich by paying tithe. Nobody gets rich by giving offering. Nobody gets rich by being a Christian. Nigeria should not be where it is right now if that so-called principle works. The blessing of Abraham is not material. The blessing of Abraham, as spoken in scriptures, they are not material. Okay, we're explaining that. Go to Genesis 13 quickly. Genesis 13. Remember, we're dealing with Abraham. Look at Genesis 13 quickly. Verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Look at verse 2 carefully. Don't deceive yourself. Verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Dear saints, your Bible does not say Abraham was rich. The Bible does not say Abraham was rich in passing. No, if you have a good Bible, you will say Abraham was very rich. What does it mean to be very rich? It means that you are more than rich. Are we together? That is Genesis chapter 13. So Abraham was wealthy. Look at Genesis 14. Verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom. This is after Abraham went to go and fight battle. Are we together? Look at Genesis chapter 14 again. Look at verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Dear saints, for a man to have 314 servants that he's feeding, he is not a poor man. Are we together? Verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and they pursued them unto Hobab, and all of that. And he, look at verse 16. And he brought back all the goods. In the reason, Moses helped you to put it in a very good term. He stole the goods from the people he had destroyed. Are we together? And also he brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. you see, what I'm saying, Father Abraham, be careful to know what he did. Look at verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which the kings dealt. Look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, in your Bible, can you see that? Verse 18, Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. There said, Melchizedek had a lineage. Melchizedek did not fall from the sky. If Melchizedek fell from the sky, it means that he's even stronger than Jesus. Because even Jesus was born by a woman. You know, I heard someone say something. He said, Melchizedek is Jesus who came in the flesh to collect Abraham's tithe. Yeah, Melchizedek, king of Salem. That means he was a king that had a lineage. Why did Moses present it to you the way he did? To point out your attention to something. We'll see that in Hebrews 7. So, see what happened in Genesis 40, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Remember, we did a teaching for 20 hours and above, teaching about the use of bread and wine and how God, Jesus, nobody or the apostle, instructed the saints to come together and be sharing Grand Square bread and Ribena. Yeah, you won't lay your hands on that teaching. Melchizedek, this is the first mention of bread and wine in scriptures. Who is Melchizedek? King of Salem. He brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest. Look at it. He was a priest of the Most High God. Remember, verse 19. Remember from Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Abraham was very wealthy. Abraham was very rich in cattle, that is in animals, in silver, and in gold. Now look at verse 19. And Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of the heaven and earth. Yeah, that'll be equal to Genesis 12. Look at it. Blessed be Abraham. What does it mean to bless? Congratulate, to welcome, to bring into. Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High, which had delivered their enemies into their hands. And he gave him a tithe. Who is the he that gave a tithe? Abraham now gave Melchizedek a tithe after Melchizedek had said blessed. Are we together? So, if you are sincere with yourself, you will read Genesis 13, where it says that Moses was very, very rich. And you will read chapter 14, where he went to go and fight battle, and he won battle and stole their properties. Then you see, chapter 14, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. What is the blessing about? Galatians 3, that the promise of the Spirit may rest or may be received by the Gentiles. Yeah, then after that blessing, he gave tithes. What an insincere mind will see is, when you give your tithe, God will bless you, speak well of you, or your pastor will speak well of you, and you now become richer. No. Okay. And blessed be the Most High, which has delivered the enemies in your hands. Look at Hebrews 7. Let me see what I'll tell you to say yourself. You know, nobody gets rich by laying of hands. You'll be like, go and meet a pastor who is rich and lays hands on you. You don't get rich by laying of hands. Are there people who say that as soon as they laid hands on you, they became rich? Yes, there are people, but it's not everything they told you. There's a lot they didn't tell you. You know, we like to mystify and dramatize miracles. But remember, the only miracle that a Christian has, that a Muslim has never had, is the miracle of new birth. Every other miracle you can claim as a Christian, there are Muslims and people who are better than you without being in your Christ. Look at Hebrews 7. Look at Hebrews 7:1. Hebrews 7 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. For this Melchizedek, he now tells you again, King of Salem, King of Salem, he now tells you again, priest of the Most High. So Melchizedek was a king and a priest. Can you see that? What is Moses teaching? Royal priesthood. First Peter. For ye are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, royal priesthood, king that is a priest. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings? Their saints. God did not send Abraham to kill people. Because Abraham had his relative was captured, he went ahead with his trained men, 319 of them, and killed people. But he met Melchizedek on his way back. So Melchizedek, after Abraham returning, blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Who is the king of peace? It has to be Jesus. When he now says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, it will mean that Melchizedek fell from the sky. Because even Jesus had beginning of days. It means that Melchizedek is higher than God. But look at what Hebrews tells you. But, look at it, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Who is that teaching about? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go back to Hebrews 5 verse 1. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 1. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 1. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 1. So you must have read Hebrews 5 before Hebrews 7. So, for every high priest taken from amongst men, look at Hebrews 5 verse 1. For every high priest taken from amongst men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that in offer both gifts and sacrifices for what? Sins. So when Melchizedek took bread and took wine, what is the blessedness he gave Abraham? Blessedness that has to do with what? Forgiveness of sins. He was teaching Christ. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 tells you that the blessing of Abraham, which is we might receive the promise through faith in Christ Jesus. So look at it again. For every high priest is taken from amongst men. So if Melchizedek was a king and he was a priest, it means that he was taken from amongst men. Why did Moses write it that way? So you can see a type of Jesus, or what Jesus is going to come and do. Who is a priest? That one who offers both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hallelujah. So priests are taken from amongst men to offer sacrifices for sins. Yeah, but that was a pointer to teach about the sacrifice of God submitting himself to be killed by men. So the blessings, you know, so if there's a blessing that comes with the blessing, if there's a blessing a priest gives, what is the blessing going to be in reference to? It will be in reference to your sins that have been dealt with, not financial increase. It is for sins. A priest is taken from amongst men, ordained for men, in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's wisdom, to leave it there. So when you see Genesis chapter 14, and Melchizedek brought bread and wine, and he spoke well, he blessed Abraham. What does it mean? He spoke well concerning something. And he used bread and wine. Same thing Jesus did on the table with his disciples. They sat on the table and he took bread and took wine and said, "This is my body. This is my blood. Drink all of it." So the blessings of Abraham, they are non-material. The blessings of Abraham, they are non-material. Moses already told you, Abraham was rich before the so-called blessing from Melchizedek. He was rich in cattle. He was rich in silver. He was rich in gold. He still stole. He still killed and stole. Hallelujah. So what did Abraham need? He needed the blessedness or the blessing of a priest. What is the blessing of a priest, or what is the blessing a priest has to offer in reference to forgiveness of sins? Not for more finances. Hallelujah. So the blessing he needs was an assurance that his sins will be dealt with. Hallelujah. So that same seed, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 1, Genesis 3, Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 14, Genesis 15, the same seed. See what Moses said about it in Romans. And David, rather. Look at Romans 4. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Romans 4, 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Are we together, dear saints? Imputed righteousness without works. So remember, what was the same way Moses' righteousness was imputed in Genesis chapter 15? He believed the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the priest Melchizedek would mean that he spoke well of Abraham in reference to forgiveness of sins, how God will deal with sins. So God's blessing was him justifying the heathen through faith. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So, we've seen that same seed is equal to the promise made to Abraham. Now, it's unfortunate we have used the word seed. We always say, when you give your pastor a seed. No. You know, let's look at an example of people who gave seed in the Bible. Oh, glory to God. You know, the other thing we always say, Acts 8, go to Acts 8 verse 9. I want to tap anointing into your life. Sir, you have been a blessing to me. I want to connect to you with my seed. They say, you don't connect anointing, you don't tap anointing by sowing seed. You see, there are people, oh my goodness. Now, there are people who tell you that, you know, it was since the day I sowed this seed, anointing became more on me. That means God gives you because you first gave. Look at Acts 8 verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that they himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Who is he? That means it means that you can be a sorcerer and you can bewitch an entire city. It means that you can be a sorcerer and flow in power. Look at verse 13. Then Simon himself believed. Which Simon? Simon the sorcerer. They told us in verse 9. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. What happened? Verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, that is the resurrection, and the name of Jesus Christ. You see that? What did we say? Concerning the kingdom of God, that is the name of Jesus Christ. What is the name of Jesus Christ? Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, equal to the name of Jesus Christ. That is the reputation of the kingdom of God. Now, look at verse 18. You can read that at your leisure time, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. You see? Verse 19, saying, give me also this power. So what did he do? He offered them money. What do we call it today? Seed. So what did he say? Sir, this is seed. Give me also this power, verse 19, that on whosoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But it is what we grew up doing as saints. What did he say? Sir, let me give you this seed. What did Peter say? Peter said what? Verse 20. Thy money perish with thee. What should they say in our day and time today? Oh glory, you honor the anointed. Oh glory. Oh, from today you shall lay your hands. No, that's not biblical. Yeah, see Peter. So what happened? Now, this sorcerer already had power to bewitch an entire city. So it means that he was powerful. But he wanted a kind of power that when he lays his hand, the people will receive the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you will see utterance. Yeah, but what did he say? Give me this power. So when I lay my hands, it will be here. What did Peter say? Thy money perish with thee. Oh, dear saints, we need more men of God today that can say that boldly to people. Thy money perish with thee. Why did he say that? Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. What was such man trying to do? He wanted something commendable, well and good. He wanted the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but wanted to buy his way through. You see, that's why we say something. A man cannot live above his understanding of God. If you are one who thinks that God is one who collects from you before he gives, that's the way you will be wanting to give God so he can give you back. Are we together? Yeah. If you see God as one who seeks you to forgive others before he forgives you, you will deal with people that way. If you see God as one who will give you the power of the Holy Ghost so he can lay your hands on people to be healed and things like that, only when you give him money or when you give him money, there's only for the only. Yeah, it's just an understanding of your heart. So the sorcerer Simon must have thought that God is one that he can bribe his way through with money. No. Yeah, our pastors and preachers and apostles today will say, yes, you recognize the oil. May it work for you. No. We see that in the Bible. We need more men who will say to people eyeball to eyeball, thy money perish with you. That is why as a pastor, as a leader, if you are leading a fellowship, you need to have a source of income. Yeah, because really, in the real sense, if Peter did not have what he was doing to feed his family, there's a tendency for him to do what? Say, okay, come. Who was Peter? A fisherman. Are we together? Oh, yeah, bring. Come on, leader, let me lay hands on you. No, it's a satanic teaching. It's not from the Bible. It's the person that did it first was someone who was possessed with Satan. Sorcery. He was a sorcerer. It's not a Christian like attitude to think you want to pay your way into getting an anointing or gift. Look at Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5, verse 23. If you are one who sees God that gives because you give, you will most likely relate to people that way. So that's why a lot of people believe that by coming to church, by being dedicated, by being consistent in your tithing and your offering, God is obligated. No. There is nothing like that. There are people who give their tithe and they've never missed it all their life and they are still poor. There are people who give sacrificially and remain poor. You don't give your way out of poverty. How do you get yourself out of poverty? You work, you labor. Do miracles happen? Yes. Not only to Christians. Look at Matthew 5, verse 23. Look at what it says. Ye have heard it. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you. So when you see a man who comes to the front of a TV and starts cursing people as a pastor, he is working under a devilish unction. Yeah, not God. God doesn't give unction to curse people. See it again. Hear Jesus. Who is God? Remember, Jesus is God. Yeah. John chapter 14, verse 5, verse 4, verse 5, 6, and 7. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So hear God. Love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Yeah, so there's no exemption of here. Because they are fighting the church. We need to fight them with our words. We need to get media. No. Anybody that does that is not working under the influence of the Spirit. Look at what the Spirit tells you to do. That is God himself. He says what? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. That ye may be children of your Father. So that is so for Jesus to say do that, it is that the Father is setting a template for us. We are to follow. We'll see that in the Lord's Prayer shortly. Yeah. That ye may be children of your Father. Yeah, what that really means is that ye may act as children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. See, if a lot of us who are pastors today are God or we are God, we will not allow sun to rise on some people. God is good and good always, irrespective of what man does. God is good. It is his nature. There is no evil in God. Yet so, the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Father of the new creation, he is one who allows the Son to rise on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at verse 36. For if you love them, listen attentively. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the unbelievers do the same? So it means that if you are loving only those that love you, you are not different from an unbeliever. Because an average unbeliever knows that when you do good, when you rub my back, I rub your back. Verse 37, if you salute only your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Even the publicans do that. Look at verse 38, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Are we together? We are together. So we have our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father does not reward giving by giving. That's what Peter really said. Your money perish with you, for God doesn't reward giving by giving. God doesn't give because you first gave. No. He gives to those who don't even believe in him or even like him. So that's why that conversation led into Matthew 6. I think we've done a few teaching on Matthew 6, you know, what you call the Lord's Prayer. In the real sense, it's not really a prayer we are to be praying today. It's something that has been fulfilled. Look at it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom has come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. What do we say heaven is? Heaven is figurative for the activity of God. What is earth? Where men stay. So what is heaven and earth? Moses is teaching of the union between Christ and the church. So thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, so there's some words missing there. You give us this day our daily bread. That is, you forgive our debts. Yeah? So we forgive our debtors. You know, if you read your Bible very well, you see, and forgive us our debts as we. No, if it is that way, it means that you are the one that is teaching God forgiveness. That means you are God's lecturer in forgiveness. So forgiveness 101, you are saying, God, come and sit down. See you, as I'm forgiving that man, forgive me. No. Some words were missing there. So you give us this day our daily bread. What is bread there? Figurative for forgiveness of sins. Bread and wine. Yeah? What did Melchizedek bring out? Bread and wine. To minister refers to forgiveness of sins. So you forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debtors. You lead us not into temptation, James chapter 1, for God doesn't tempt anyone. You deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forevermore. So, what is he saying? He has forgiven us, so we forgive. So, he has an example, we follow. He's not saying that if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. No, it doesn't make any sense. Either you forgive or you don't forgive, God forgives. You cannot use man's understanding to explain God. No. We see that evidently put forth in Christ. So, look at it. If you say God forgives you because you forgive, it means that forgiveness, which you call a sin, that means our Heavenly Father sinned. That means God sinned. No. We follow a model or the model of forgiveness from God. Look at it. Okay, we'll get there. Romans. You see, a man cannot live above his understanding of his God. He cannot live above his understanding of his God. He cannot live above the understanding of his God. We have a model evidently put forth in front of us, which is in reference to forgiveness of sins. By extension, we learn generously from that generosity. Hallelujah. So, forgiveness of sin is not an answer to a prayer. You don't need to pray for forgiveness of sins. No, you don't pray your way to receive forgiveness of sins. No, it's a waste of time. Yeah. You know, you hear people say things like this. You need to go to the mountain for 10 days to ask God for mercy. Even your father, how many days do you ask him for mercy for? So, if your father forgives in less than 3 hours or less than 20 minutes, but God needs 10 days, it means your father is a better God than God. You see? We need to be careful of the implication of the things he said. We see, our sins are not forgiven on because we ask. No, our sins are forgiven because God is good and loving. Hallelujah. You know, that's the same thing that applies. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Running over, what was Jesus teaching about? Forgiveness in reference to men. We did a teaching on that. You should lay your hands on that. So, we do good to those that do evil to us. We do good and not expect, just like our Heavenly Father. Yeah, so, as men, we give as a response by seeing the example that God has given. The same way we forgive as an example or having God's example as a template for us. Look at James 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. Not that give it to Christians. No, that give it to all liberally, and he upbraided not, and it shall be given him. What is that saying? Upbraided not means he doesn't find fault. God is not a fault finder. Glory to God. Yeah, he obeyed not, he gave it to all. That's a chief attribute of God. We see that evidently put forth in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God gives, doesn't find fault. So when you see that man in Acts chapter 8 that wanted to give a seed to Peter and Philip, what did Peter say? Your money perish with you. So God is an example of mercy. God is an example of forgiveness. God is an example of judgment. God is an example of giving. John 3:16. For God in such a manner loved the world in that he gave, glory to God, in that he gave his only begotten son. See, we were not saved when, see, okay, go to Romans quickly. Let's try round up here. Romans 5. Glory to God, glory to God. See, God gives as a generous father. Yeah, God gives as a generous, so as saints we are to give because we have the attitude of God in us. God lives in us. Glory to God. That's why we say something. As saints, you give to meet the needs of others, not because you want your needs to be met. We practice this delusive teaching in this part of the world, whatever I started from. But the delusive teaching that says that when you have a need, sow a seed. It's an erroneous teaching. It is not taught in scripture and it doesn't work. You hear people say, hey, I bought my house. I bought my house because I sowed a seed. If it show you that you want to have estate, go and sell that house and drop all the money as a seed. So it's very ridiculous. Yeah, you sold 500 naira. Somebody gave you 10,000 naira. You say it's because you sold seed of 500 naira. If you sure you were, drop it 10,000 naira. Drop it. No. God doesn't give because we give. God gives because he's a giver. So the saints we have to give are saints because we have the nature of God in us. What did Matthew 5 verse 48 says? He says, be ye perfect as your heavenly father, who allows the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he allows his rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at Romans 5 verse 1. God forgives because he is a forgiving and loving father. Yeah, what the saint or what do people do? We receive forgiveness. By extension, what do? We point our attention to God's forgiveness supplied in Christ. Yeah, what does the devil want? He wants you to live in condemnation. What does God want? He wants you to remind yourself that you have been forgiven on account of the work of Christ, the name of Jesus. Look at Romans 5 verse 1. Look at Romans 5 verse 1 quickly. Therefore, being justified by faith, how are we justified by faith? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Look at it again. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look at verse 6. Pay attention. If you think you worked hard for the grace of God you have, look at it, verse 6. For where we were yet without strength, in due time, glory to God, Christ died for who? The ungodly. Christ did not die for the godly. He died for the ungodly. Look at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man, we won't die. What is that saying? How many of us can die for a good man? Imagine you have a boss and your boss is very good. How many of us can say, boss, you are so good, I want to die for you. Boss, you are so good. Boss, you are wonderful. Boss, you are excellent. My boss, you are good. I will die for you. How many of us can do that? See what it says? For scarcely for a righteous man, we won't die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because like, glory to God, much more than being now justified by his blood, by his spirit, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, hallelujah, glory to God, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Glory, glory, glory. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, we are justified by faith. When we were enemies, God died for the ungodly. John 3:16. Run there quickly. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God in such a manner loved the world in that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, that is the first begotten. Okay. Let's try to read that verse with, the the modifications we've made in recent weeks. For God, in such a manner, loved the world. We see that in that he gave his first begotten son, bracket only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave, verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive the love of God. The same John that wrote the book of John is writing 1 John. Hereby perceive the love of God. Because, how do we know God's love? We see that because he laid his life for us. And we ought to lay our lives for the brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But whosoever had this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and he shutted up his bowels of compassion from him. Who is that? One who is stingy. How do I the love of God in him? Verse 10. My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deeds and in truth. So how do we know your love received by your physical generosity towards men? Your love for God is explained and exemplified by your love for the brethren. You know, my little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongues, but in deeds and in truth. Hallelujah. So back to Genesis 12, where we started from. Let's end there. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. What is that land I will show thee? The land will be the land of the believer. The land will be the land that God has planted his seed. How did God plant his seed? By resurrecting Christ from the dead, and one who believes becomes a member of the harvest. So I will make thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. How is Abraham supposed to be a blessing? So when you say, Abraham's blessings are mine, Abraham's blessings are mine, I am blessed in the morning, I am blessed in the evening, Abraham's blessings are mine. Look at it. I will bless thee that bless you and curse them that curse you. What would that be? It will be that what? People who receive of the gospel, they are now made partakers of God's resurrection in Christ. So, Abraham is a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. How? To bring more people into the light. So, as you are saying, Abraham's blessings are yours, yet that is what? That the spirit of what? The promise of the spirit might be received by the Gentiles through faith in Christ. And by extension, go ye therefore into the world and make disciples. Go ye therefore into the world and make disciples. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the blessing of Abraham. I think we may need to do a little justice to that. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. You know, so we give to God as an end in itself. God gave himself to mankind. By extension, we see a template to follow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So all those doctrines of you give God so that it can provoke a blessing. No, it does. There's nothing like that, really. There's nothing like that. There's a delusive teaching that I have taught years before. You know, but thank God for God's light shining in the hearts of men. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. I hope you've been able to learn one or two things. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a beautiful night rest. I love you all. Cheers.